She wasn't supposed to know. The affair was a secret, buried in hotel receipts and late-night whispers. Her mom thought she was asleep, headphones on, babysitting her little brother while texting boys. But 16-year-old Sienna wasn't like other girls. She watched. She remembered. And when she caught her mother wrapped in another man's arms, she didn't cry, she calculated. By the time her mom came home, Sienna had already unlocked her phone, taken screenshots, and drafted a message. You want me to keep quiet? Then pay up. What began as silence for cash quickly spiraled into designer handbags, stolen IDs, and cryptic meetings behind closed doors. But Sienna wasn't blackmailing her mother out of greed. She was doing it out of obsession. Control. A twisted hunger for power that only deepened with each lie. And when her mother tried to pull away, Sienna didn't just threaten to expose her, she threatened to destroy her, starting with her marriage, her job, and her youngest child. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. Mommy's Little Monster. The day it all began was so normal, it made what followed feel impossible. It was a Thursday, early May, overcast. The kind of weather that sticks to your skin like a warning. Sienna Hart was 16, but she didn't feel 16. Other girls worried about likes and boyfriends and what top to wear with leggings. Sienna cared about leverage. That night, her mom Dana had left her a $20 bill, a frozen pizza, and instructions to keep Lucas off the tablet after 8. Lucas was 7 and easily bribed with snacks and Paw Patrol. Dana had her monthly book club, or so she claimed, and Sienna was left to manage the house. But Sienna had noticed things. A new perfume. A change in her mother's laugh. A red silk bra that wasn't there a month ago. She didn't believe in coincidence, only patterns. That night, Lucas fell asleep early. Sienna waited exactly 20 minutes, then cracked her mom's laptop open on the kitchen counter. It wasn't snooping, it was reconnaissance. The browser history told her everything. Hilton Garden Inn. One night stay. Charged on a Visa card Dana didn't normally use. And a folder labeled, Writing Retreat Pics. The air quotes practically screamed at her. Sienna clicked. There they were. Her mother, in a slinky black dress, posing next to a man in his 40s. Salt and pepper hair. Close-cut beard. Wedding rings still on his hand. The timestamps matched the last girl's night, Dana had claimed. Sienna's hand shook, but not from anger. From excitement. She spent the next hour screenshotting everything, backing it up to her iCloud, and uploading select shots to a burner Instagram account. She wasn't going to post them, not yet. But she wanted her mother to know they existed. When Dana walked through the door just before midnight, her lipstick slightly smeared and her phone suspiciously silent, Sienna was already on the couch, waiting. Dana jumped. Jesus, Sienna, why are you still up? Sienna tilted her head and smiled, calm as a cobra. Wanted to talk, you know, about Mr. Wedding Ring and room 236. Dana went still. Color drained from her face. What? I saw the photos. I saw the receipt. I know about you and the guy from the Hilton, so unless you want Dad to know too, I suggest we come to an agreement. Dana opened her mouth, then closed it. She was a lawyer, used to negotiating, but this wasn't a courtroom. You don't know what you're talking about. Sienna pulled out her phone and opened the photo of Dana sitting on the man's lap, her blouse unbuttoned just enough to make the image damning. Don't I? Dana stared. Sienna leaned back, crossed her legs and said softly, I want $300 cash every Friday. Dana blinked. And if I don't? I post the photos to your firm's Facebook page and email them to Dad with a sweet little message. Found this while babysitting, thought you should know. Dana's voice cracked. You're blackmailing me. Sienna shrugged. I'm making sure the truth doesn't destroy our family. Your words, not mine. The first payment came 2 days later, in a plain envelope slipped under Sienna's bedroom door. It escalated quickly. By the end of the month, Sienna had a new iPhone, a fake Louis Vuitton, and 3 sets of lash extensions. By June, she was meeting older boys at the mall and spending her weekends in Airbnbs she booked under her friends' names, always with cash. Her mother watched helplessly, trapped in a guilt web she had helped spin. But something shifted one Friday night when Sienna asked for $1,000. Dana flinched. "That's not the deal." Sienna tilted her head. "Well, the deal just changed. You're sleeping with your married boss now, right? Michael Bainbridge. You two are adorable on the security cam from the firm parking lot." Dana turned pale. "You were following me?" "I protect my investments." That was when Dana realized this wasn't about hush money anymore. It was about control. Sienna wasn't satisfied with money. She wanted access. She began digging deeper into Dana's phone, watching her emails, listening in on Zoom calls through the door. She memorized passwords, forwarded herself transcripts, and created a separate bank account in her name using Dana's SSN. When Dana tried to change her login credentials, her own email mysteriously locked her out. When she deleted files, they reappeared. When she blocked Sienna's burner accounts, new ones surfaced. Her own daughter was hacking her life. Dana tried to regain control. Therapy, confrontation, even unplugging the Wi-Fi. Nothing worked. The final straw came when Dana received a call from Lucas's school counselor. "Your daughter told Lucas to lie about bruises," the counselor said. "He said she wanted to see what the nurse would do. He told her, Sienna said it was a game." Dana rushed home in a panic. Sienna was waiting in the kitchen. Calm. Dressed in black leggings and a Gucci sweatshirt she couldn't possibly afford. Dana screamed, "You used your brother." Sienna held up a photo. It was Dana, crying on Michael Bainbridge's chest in the courthouse elevator. Dana had no idea anyone had taken it. "One more outburst," Sienna whispered, "and I send this to HR. Think Lucas is traumatized now? Wait until he sees custody court." Dana's knees buckled. Sienna stepped forward, patted her mother's shoulder, and smiled. "You should have just bought the purse." By July, Dana was a shell. Sienna's behavior grew bolder. She skipped school. She called teachers by their first names. She used her mother's firm card to order Uber Blacks and DoorDash sushi. She had dirt on three of her mum's co-workers, and she flaunted it. Nobody questioned her. But one day, she went too far. She sent an anonymous email to her mother's boss. "Michael Bainbridge has been using his office for personal encounters with married subordinates. Evidence attached." She blurred the photo, but included just enough detail to implicate Dana. She never meant for it to actually reach him. It was just to scare Dana, remind her who was in charge. But she forgot to use a proxy. The IP was traceable. And Michael did open the file. Dana was called into HR. That night, she came home and didn't say a word. Just walked into the kitchen, poured a glass of wine, and stared out the window. Sienna bounced in. "You're home early. Fired already." Dana turned slowly. There was something new in her face. Something that didn't fear anymore. "I met with a lawyer," Dana said, calm as glass. "I told him everything. About the blackmail. About the digital theft. The social manipulation. Even about Lucas." Sienna froze. "You what?" "I have screenshots, Sienna. Backups. I filed a restraining order. I moved half the money. And tomorrow, you're going to juvenile court." Sienna's smile wavered. "I'll show them what you did to Lucas," she hissed. Dana didn't flinch. "I already did." The silence cracked like ice. That night, Sienna didn't sleep. She lay in bed, staring at the ceiling, calculating. Her empire was burning, but she had one more card to play. She picked up her phone and opened the folder labeled Insurance. Inside were photos of her mother's firm partners at a holiday party, one of them kissing a paralegal, another snorting something off a marble counter, and a 3-second video, Michael Bainbridge, drunk, grabbing Dana by the waist, Dana pulling away. Sienna tapped her lip. A new strategy was forming. Her mother thought she'd won. But Sienna wasn't just dangerous. She was patient. She smiled in the dark and began uploading the video to 3 separate cloud drives. Chapter 2. The trap that smiled back Monday arrived with a thunderstorm, the kind that made roads slick and hearts unsteady. Dana had taken the day off, allegedly to pack and prepare for her emergency court petition, but she hadn't left the house, not once. Sienna, on the other hand, went about her morning like nothing had changed. She wore a white dress that looked both innocent and strategic, and she whistled while microwaving waffles. Dana watched from the kitchen doorway, her arms crossed, her face unreadable. "You think this is over?" Dana said, voice low. "I think you blinked," Sienna replied, "and now I'm two moves ahead." Dana didn't respond. She simply turned, picked up her phone, and called someone. Sienna leaned against the counter. "Calling your therapist? Your lawyer? Dad?" "No," Dana said, voice calm. "Lucas's school. I'm pulling him out, effective immediately." That finally struck a nerve. Sienna's eyes narrowed. "Why?" "Because I don't trust you near him, and I don't trust what you'll say next to anyone. I raised him when you were busy sleeping with Michael." Dana took a step closer. "No, Sienna. You manipulated him, just like you did me, just like you're trying to do now." There was no fear in Dana anymore, only fire. By noon, Sienna was locked in her room, pacing like a wolf in a cage. She had uploaded the Bainbridge video to multiple drives. She had timed emails queued up to send in 36 hours, to his wife, his boss, a local news station. But it felt weak. For the first time, she felt something she hadn't felt since this began. Unease. She didn't like the way Dana had spoken. Calm. In control. Like she had reached a place beyond blackmail, beyond threat. It scared her. And when Sienna felt scared, she fought back. She pulled out her secret weapon. A USB drive with audio files, ones she had secretly recorded over the last 6 months. Her mother crying, whispering, swearing at Lucas, talking to herself while she drank wine in the pantry at 2 a.m. One file was especially juicy. Dana confessing to someone over the phone that she wished she'd never had kids and that she was stuck in a life she hated. Sienna edited it, cleaned the noise, added atmospheric music underneath, turned it into a podcast episode draft titled Confessions of a Mother. She knew a few TikTok creators who would go viral with it in a heartbeat. Let her mother feel the powerlessness, let her beg again. The next morning, Sienna woke up to an empty house. Dana's car was gone. So was Lucas's backpack. But her mother's laptop was still on the kitchen table, unlocked, suspiciously. She approached like a predator near a trap. A note beside it read, "If you're reading this, you've already lost. Enjoy the folder." Sienna clicked it open. The folder was called Sienna Truth. Inside were videos, files, chat logs, screenshots. One was a recorded Zoom session between Dana and a court-appointed psychologist. Another was a signed affidavit from Lucas's teacher describing signs of emotional manipulation and coaching. But the worst one was a video. A nanny cam file from the guest bedroom. Sienna, red-eyed, hissing into her phone. "I could end her. I just need the right trigger. Maybe Lucas falls. Maybe I say she hit me. I don't care. She'll pay." The timestamp was from 3 weeks ago. Sienna blinked. That camera wasn't hers. Dana had outplayed her. She barely heard the front door open. By the time she looked up, two officers were in the hallway. A woman in a navy blazer followed behind. "Sienna Hart?" one officer asked. Sienna backed up. "What is this?" The woman spoke. "I'm with Child Protective Services. You're not under arrest, but we do need to talk." Dana entered last, face pale, jaw tight. "I gave them everything," she said softly. "You've been watching me?" "I've been watching you." Sienna's face twisted. "You told them lies." "No, I told them the truth you were too arrogant to hide." She stepped closer. "This ends now." Sienna grabbed the laptop and bolted. She made it halfway to the stairs before a voice behind her shouted, "Stop!" She froze. Because Lucas was standing at the top of the stairs, holding his stuffed bear, watching. His eyes were wet. "Sienna," he whispered, "you told me lying was a game." The laptop slipped from her fingers and shattered. She didn't go to jail. But the court didn't go easy. Her accounts were frozen, her devices seized, the emails, the podcast drafts, the cloud backups, all pulled in as evidence. Dana filed for emergency emancipation of parental responsibility. Sienna was placed in a state-monitored therapeutic residence. Not juvie. Not yet. but close. They said she needed intensive intervention. They called it narcissistic pathology, delusional manipulation, absence of empathy, high-risk behavioral triangulation. They used words like sociopath. Dana never visited. Lucas did. Once. He brought a crayon drawing. In it, he stood beside his mom. There was no third figure. Sienna crumpled it when he left. 6 months passed. She didn't cry. She didn't beg. She watched, waited, and planned. By the time she turned 17, she had memorized the names of every therapist, staff member, and nurse on rotation. She knew their schedules, their routines. One day, during a group session, she told a new counselor about how she felt remorse. She described losing herself. They called it a breakthrough. They recommended early release. She smiled. 2 weeks before her hearing, a local podcaster received an anonymous submission, a 12-minute edited voice file titled, "She Hit Me First." It featured a teenage girl's voice, crying, accusing, describing bruises and threats. It was designed to sound like Lucas. The audio went viral. The court found the origin. The origin was traced back to a library computer near the facility, but no fingerprints, no logins. Just a whisper of Sienna's final act before freedom. The court delayed her hearing. Dana, once again, received hate mail. Accusations. Lucas came home in tears. Dana knew exactly what had happened. She sat at her desk, phone in hand, and called her lawyer. "We need to escalate," she said. "She won't stop. Not until someone stops her for good." The final scene unfolded 3 months later. Dana, hair tied back, stepped into the courtroom. Sienna sat across from her, in a navy sweater and ponytail, looking like a model student. The judge reviewed the reports, the audio leak, the recurrence of manipulation. Sienna said all the right things. "I made mistakes. I was in pain. I was angry." But then the judge held up a photo, the nanny cam still, her face, contorted with rage, hands clutching Lucas's tablet like a weapon. Sienna blinked, Dana stood, and finally spoke. "My daughter didn't just blackmail me, she hunted me. She turned my love into leverage. And when I tried to pull away, she used my son. I'm not just asking for separation, I'm asking for protection." The courtroom went quiet. The judge nodded slowly and made it official. Sienna would not return home. Not now. Not ever. Back in her facility bunk that night, Sienna stared at the ceiling. She wasn't angry. Not yet. She smiled, because the nurse had left the room key on her clipboard, and her roommate. She talked in her sleep. Everyone had weaknesses, even Dana. Especially Dana.